Intervju Radija Študent.
Pogovarjali smo se z mojstrom in inovatorjem perzijske tradicionalne glasbe, Kajhanom Kalhorjem, ki danes večer ob 20:30 nastopi v klubu Cankarjevega doma. Kalhor, ki je eden najbolj cenjenih improvizatorjev na godalu Kemanče, nam je nekaj povedal o trenutnem duetu z Alijem Bahradi Fardom. Vlogi improvizacije v klasičnih perzijskih glasbenih formah, odnosu z občinstvom in še čem.
So yeah, today you are performing in a duo with Ali Bahrami Fard.
Yes.
And could you maybe say a little bit about this project, this ensemble?
Well, this project, a few years ago I was in Iran. Ali is one of the people that I worked with, young musicians. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there is a generation of young musicians in Iran. He's a very brilliant musician, and I decided to do a duo project with him. I was trying this new instrument, mm-hmm. that's a five-string kamanche with some sympathetic strings, and I decided to use that. And we sat down a number of days, and you know, just tried different things. And usually he plays santur, which is a treble instrument. Mm-hmm. For this project, we decided to use a bass santur, uh-huh. which is at least 2 octaves lower than usual santur, and to get, you know, different sounds.
Yeah.
I think it went well. We had a recording together, and we have been touring it ever since.
Uh-huh.
And I like the results, I should say.
Oh, okay. And how do you approach the concert? Do you have like some songs you play, or you just improvise in this
It's
mode?
Improvised music. It's mm-hmm. It's all improvised. We have some pieces in mind,
mm-hmm.
that we usually set, you know, a number of melodies along the way, but that we always go back to. But whatever goes on in between is improvised, and this is the essence of the kind of music that we practice. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Persian traditional music is highly relied on improvisation.
Yeah, actually I wanted to ask you maybe this, like what you play is a kind of Persian classical music, and it's...
You can call it a modern traditional music,
okay.
Because, you know, I don't consider myself to be a pure traditionalist,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, on purpose,
yeah,
of course, but you know, I have done my share of traditional music before, and for a number of years I just wanted to develop my own language and what I wanted to play, and maybe we can, you know, call it post-classical music,
mm-hmm.
In Iranian music, whatever it is, it has its root into classical and traditional music, but it certainly does not really sound like that anymore,
mm-hmm.
not in terms of the ornamentations, the phrasing and the essence of music. They're all there still, but in terms of interpretation, forms and sounds,
mm-hmm.
So I think what we hear today, it's going to be, you know, it's going to sound a lot more new,
mm-hmm.
comparing to what it was before. And these are modern instruments, these are new instruments. We played the same kind of music on it, but we're trying to, you know, find another space, create another space, maybe something newer than what existed before. This is what I have done with my traditional music as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't consider myself a traditional musician, but I come from a certain tradition,
yeah.
that I represent.
Huh.
So I think there is a link. You can represent a tradition without being really traditional, but being really loyal to that tradition and have practiced that tradition. So I think that's the story.
Huh.
if I can explain it.
Yeah. Great. So how, I mean, so even though it's not traditional music, it still relates to this classical.
Definitely.
And
yes.
Maybe could you say just a little bit about Persian classical? It's organized in datgah.
Yes.
And is this a bit similar to makam, maybe?
Definitely.
It's like a
datgah system is a slightly different version and more complete version than makam system.
Mm-hmm.
In makam system, you have smaller phrases or small phrases or several phrases that form a makam. In Persian datgah system, you have several, up to 50, 60 makams put together in one datgah.
Uh-huh.
So it's a larger unit that helps you to memorize the phrases better in a more logical way.
Mm-hmm.
And helps you to preserve them more, because in the old time that they didn't have, they didn't want to write the music
mm-hmm.
down, and everything was passed on orally. It helps you to keep some sort of pattern to memorize that, because we all have to memorize all those,
mm-hmm.
and these are the basis for improvisation. So datgah system is a larger and more organized way of makam system. You know, they're basically the same.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so you use the same intervals, the same. Or it's a bit different.
Well,
geographically, maybe.
Geographically, yeah. You said you have, this is specification of datgah system. You know, the datghahs. You know, let's say you have like 150 makams,
okay,
and you want to put them, in different ways and organize them in different ways. So, in terms of the intervals, their moods and the way they should follow each other in terms of modulation,
mm-hmm.
how, you know, number one, number two, number three should follow. You know, they all put this in one datgah, and you have 12 datgahs. You know,
okay,
that they sometimes share the intervals, the scales, but the tonic is different. For example, if you have a certain, imagine if you have the major scale,
mm-hmm.
and then you start from C as tonic, and then you start from D, same scale. Same idea as, you know, old Greek system that
yes,
you probably know.
Yeah.
So, we have that system, so we have different points of tonics that define datgahs. So the sounding, the phrases, the tonic, the mood changes when you have, you know, different centers. So a lot of that and different scales, you know. So the datgahs are put together and divided based on the intervals, their moods, and how large and small they can be in one unit. And you call that unit datgah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And is the fact that the datgah system, it's like oral tradition, is it easier then to make some innovations, like you say, because it's not written down, and maybe through time you change your playing, like you did?
Knowing that as your traditional material always helps,
mm-hmm.
but innovating is a different matter,
okay,
because it involves imagination, talent, you know, everything
yeah.
else. So when you know a system, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can be innovative in it. You know, we have other examples that, you know, we have a certain system, but you cannot really be innovative in it.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the performers and, you know, people who actually perform that kind of music. I don't think they have anything to do with each other.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah.
And do you maybe see in maybe in the future that some of the things you developed in this playing, maybe other people will take?
It's not in the future, it's already there.
Ah.
You know, thousands and thousands of people that play Kamancha now and play, practice Persian traditional music, they're using this style.
Ah.
Or, you know, some of them use the same style that I created a number of years ago.
Ah.
So it's a trend, it's a language that has been created. It's already there, you know.
Okay.
Maybe in the future it changes and it goes forward. I hope, you know, that's going to be the case. But, you know, there's always a traditional material that you have and something that you add to it in your own generation. This has happened during our tradition for a number of times, hundreds of times. This is what makes a tradition breathe and live.
Yeah.
You know, if this doesn't happen, you know, for example, you know, Western classical tradition, you know, you have music from medieval time and Renaissance, Baroque, classical, romantic, you know, it changes all the time. The basis and the tradition and the, you know, the knowledge is the same.
Mm-hmm.
But in every era, in every now and then, you know, people have changed that. The forms has been changed, the playing technique has been changed, you know, and what you have today as, you know, modern music or contemporary music is had, it has its root in that tradition.
Okay.
It is a traditional music,
yeah.
But it's the language of this time. So this happens over and over in the history. Otherwise, the tradition dies.
Mm-hmm.
If you play like your teacher or your father, and your son plays exactly like you, so, you know, he plays as exactly like your
mm-hmm.
teacher or your father, so the tradition never changes, and so it's not suitable for new generations.
Yeah.
So this happens all the time in our music as well. It changes.
And how is it different now than when you were starting? What kind of situations were you playing in, maybe when you weren't a leader or something?
Yeah.
How is it different today? You probably started more like traditional ensemble or something.
I did, yes, I did do that, and then I did a lot of solo presentations, and nowadays I play a lot of other concerts. You know, I do solos, I do duos, I do ensembles with Silk Road Ensemble, you know, with Yo-Yo Ma, you know,
mm-hmm.
other, you know, Western classical musicians. I play with Erdal Erzencan, a Turkish musician, as a duo. I play with Shujaat Hussain Khan as a North Indian musician. So I have all this crossover sort of fusion projects as well, which helps me to learn and helps the music to travel more
mm-hmm.
than it, you know, than it should. Because as if you keep your traditional music as traditional music, you know, you only have a certain kind of audience. But if you successfully manage to mix that with another kind of music, you capture, you know, another audience that you didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think where I started, you know, like 40, 45 years ago, and then progressed, and then, you know, step into the situation that I am today, you know, I have passed many different stages. And the world changed in the same time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The world that I live in right now, it's not the world of 45 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, technology, YouTube, you know, internet, you know, faxes, I don't know, iPads, you know, all these things. So it's a world of technology, and that helps you to change, and that helps your listeners to change. It is really harder right now to get your listeners' attention than it was 20 years ago.
Oh, that's your experience?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yes, that is my experience. And the way you sell your product, you know, it was cassettes before and then CD, and then now, you know, you buy it on
yeah,
the
like
internet
digital,
and you know, in a digital way. So you know, the stores are going, you know, CDs are going, you know, you that the whole industry is changing, so the music has to change with it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of different elements that define that. The time, you know, when we had LPs, you know, 45 LPs, you know,
yeah.
you had like 5 minutes on
of
each
course.
Side. So you had songs, you know, that with duration of 4.5 minutes to 5 minutes, you know, and then later on you had cassettes that you had the ability to have 60 minutes of music. So
mm-hmm.
that actually dictated the in the industry, you know, for a lot more options. You know, everyday options change, music changes,
mm-hmm.
people change, technology
right.
changes. So it's a time that you have to adapt yourself with, you know, what you do, with the industry and with kind of listeners that you have. And I think I'm very happy these days because, you know, 10 years, 15 years or 20 years ago, you know, Iranian music, Persian music wasn't as known, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, we have traveled a lot. We have presented that music a lot. I think we have a larger audience now that appreciates this music, and we can offer this kind of music as another, you know, alternative kind of music to others, you know,
yeah,
to broaden their horizons and what they could listen to. And I'm very extremely happy about that.
And is it any different? What is the most common situation you play, like the form of a concert, 1 hour, 2 hours, or
mm-hmm.
maybe when you play in Iran you play maybe different type, or is it the
no,
same form?
I try to do the same form. First of all, you know, when I have my ensemble, I do a half, a solo or duo, and then use my ensemble in the second half or so, or a singer, you know. But usually my favorite format is to not have any intervals,
mm-hmm.
and you know, just play on for 1 hour or 1 hour and 15 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, 90 minutes. So I don't want that emotional line to be cut out,
mm-hmm.
and I want people to be able to follow. And I think this Western format of presenting Western classical music is not very suitable for our music.
Mm-hmm.
So I really try to do this one section of music, and it's all improvised. It's long, and it takes you along with it.
Of course.
Yeah. So that's my favorite way to present a concert.
And you will do the same this evening? So,
sure. Yeah, it's going to be one section that we start together from somewhere and interact. And, you know, we have different ways of stressing, you know, just going back to certain melody to remind each other where we are,
mm-hmm.
you know, as, you know, your reminder as signs, you know. But the format's still the same. I'm very much in love with that format. I don't want people to go after 40 minutes, you know, listen 40 minutes of music or songs, you know, whatever, and then they'll go out, they have their wine, you know, they talk to their friends, and they just totally forget whatever I've done.
Yeah.
And then they come again, I have to work twice to bring them back in that mood, and, you know, travel, you know, start from somewhere I left off, and that's very hard, and I think it's not suitable for the kind of music that we present.
Okay. And I wanted to ask you one other thing. Being you're an improvising musician, and are you maybe interested in other kinds of improvisation, maybe more experimental, free jazz?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. This is what I'm doing with other musicians. I have this project, as I told you, with a North Indian musician, with a sitar player and tabla player. And we have been doing that for almost 12 years. It just progressing, you know. I bring what I know from my music, you know, he brings what he knows from his own musical tradition. I do a duo with a Turkish saz player, you know, that's been very successful, you know, when people like to hear that. It's always about the idea to share music with musicians from the same kind of traditions for me.
Mm.
That they come from improvisational traditions, that they learn to improvise, and we share our knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and try to find a common point. This is what the free jazz is too.
Mm.
You know, any kind of ideas that you try to explore, you try to create music on spot, that second, you know, I really enjoy that, and that's my area. I'm not very in love with, you know, playing written music.
Of course,
I mean,
yeah.
I've done that. I've written music as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, for films, for ensembles, things like that. But, you know, when you have the audience in front of you and you want to create music, it's another joy. You cannot describe it. You travel with them, you know, their mood, your mood, you know, everything, you know, their vibes, you know, direct you in a certain way, and it becomes something else.
Okay, so thank you for the interview and have a good concert this
My
evening.
Pleasure, thank you very much.
Poslušali ste pogovor z iranskim glasbenikom Kajhanom Kalhorijem, ki nastopa danes ob 20:30 v klubu Cankarjevega doma. Intervju je pripravil Marko Karlovčec.
Intervju Radija Študent.